Live from WVUF Studios in Lower BCC, this is Red Sea Radio, back for episode 3. It's another beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in Fairfield. We got me and Jack in the studio. How are we feeling?
I'm good.
It's good to be here. Yeah, we're very excited for this episode. Definitely going to be our best episode, I'd say. By far, we got a lot of new information.
So
we did our homework. So we are back, Red Sea Radio, talking exclusively Fairfield sports. You're listening to WVOF 88.5 FM. So I wanted to start the show off today a little different. So I had some headlines that I kind of just collected over the past week in my notes and kind of just wanted to go through them. A little Fairfield news here and there before we get into like the more important stuff later on in the show. So first of all, I think, you know, just a headline to talk about is that the athletic director confirmed that they will be having fall seasons in the spring. So everything that got canceled, right? Mm-hmm. So field hockey, soccer, volleyball, mm-hmm. right? They will be having seasons like restructured into the spring.
It can be mad sports. So how they're going to figure out the fields.
There's going to be that's what's good. That's the crazy thing. There's going to be so many sports going on.
So many games going on all day. They're going to have to play like 3 games a day with that kind of scheduling. Because think about like, with soccer, you have male and female. You have field hockey in addition to that. In addition to, like, baseball, lacrosse, and all that.
And then you'll have, like, something like volleyball going on, but basketball will still be going on, right?
Oh, yeah, true. I didn't even think about that, yeah.
So
they don't have to situate the schedule.
And then just, like, that'll be crazy, all the games going on. And then you got to think about the staff, right? You got, like, the people who broadcast, the people who
do
different things. Like
usually they overlap, and they won't be able to, like... Like, you won't be able to have one guy be able to do, like, volleyball and basketball now, because they'll probably be going on... volleyball and soccer, because they'll probably be going on at the same time.
Because, like, I've worked, like, some Fairfield games. Like, I've worked some game days where, like, I had to work a soccer game, and then I had to, like, run over to Alumni Hall and work a volleyball game. And, like, that was crazy, and that was just, like, 2 games in the same season. There could potentially be, like, 5 games going on campus at one time. I think it's kind of crazy, but I am happy that they are still playing it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, more sports the better.
Yeah, and just for, you know, everyone who lost a season, you know, just good
that obviously, the seniors, you don't want
to get to play. So that was kind of one thing. Another thing, this was all came from the Live from the Director's Chair show, which is on Fairfield Stag's website. Fairfield basketball will play all its games at Alumni Hall this season.
Really?
So, yep. So, no games at Webster Bank. Yep.
Is that, like, because of COVID, or...?
I think it just made more sense.
I mean, less movement, less time going outside of campus. That makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, usually when they play at Bridgeport, they have to kind of pick up and move everything over there. But also just the fact that, like, at Bridgeport, then they would have a whole ton of employees that work at Webster Bank. Would probably have to work there.
And then so more people exposed to it.
And also just, like, paying more people with no profit because there's no fans.
I keep forgetting about no fans.
Yeah, so it's I guess it makes more sense to just play here. Yeah. But with that, the new arena got delayed, right? So I think construction's going to start as soon as this basketball season ends.
And then we'll probably...
And it probably...
will take up all senior year.
Take a year.
Yeah.
So for our senior year, probably won't...
Unfortunate.
Probably won't be ready, but probably 2 years from now it'll be ready. And then just a small note, all conference games will be on ESPN, home and away, so we will be able to see every game, and everyone out there listening will be able to see every game on ESPN, ESPN Plus. And other than that, a quick kind of nod to the Stags and the pros, Landon... He had his first game, right? He has his debut in Luxembourg.
Yeah, I saw that.
Dropped 36 points, 9 of 10 from 3. So kind of what we said, you know, his shooting, it's going to translate into wherever he moves on to, because if you're a shooter, you're always a shooter. You know, it's not like something that you're going to lose going up to a higher level. So it's kind of cool to see him, you know, doing well in Luxembourg, doing well in the pros. And it's a very strong way to start off your professional
career. Yeah, obviously. I mean, if
career.
That's your first game, you're just going to get better.
Yeah, exactly. So we wish him the best of luck. And before we move into our main kind of topic for the day, I guess just going back on that no fans thing. No fans is going to be tough, but like obviously Fairfield is doing some exciting things that I can't mention yet, obviously, but like Jack knows, and like there's going to be some cool things going on at Alumni Hall that are actually going to be announced next week. So if you're listening out there and you're a Fairfield fan, and you want to get involved for this season, just make sure you check social media next week. Something cool is going to be rolled out, and yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm working on the marketing for that, so hopefully you guys could get involved with that and make my job a little easier. But we're going to move on today. So on our Twitter, we got a question, right? So we got it from at Fairfield Frank, who is a former Fairfield alumni, former manager of the team. So first of all, thank you for submitting a question, because when we posted this, we weren't really sure if we were going to get a question at all, right?
Yeah.
We have, what, like 13 followers now on Twitter.
And if you don't follow our Twitter, slowly rising.
Yeah, if you don't follow our Twitter, follow it at Red Sea Radio. But thank you for the question, because we weren't sure if we were going to get one at all. And now that we did, this is probably going to be the whole chunk of our show is going to be based around this question. So I guess we'll start off reading the question, and then it's a kind of a packed question, so we'll take it one kind of step at a time. But to start off, the question is, what role do you see the two new eligible transfers taking on the team? Can Caleb become the true point guard that we've been waiting for? And can Chef be not only the big on the boards, but also help with scoring? So it was about three questions in there, so we're going to take it one at a time. So first off, we'll start with the role, what roles we can see the two transfers taking on the team. So starting off with Jake, right? I think we'll start off with him. You know, I have some – should you want me to go or should you?
You go first.
So I have some notes on him, right? We could just kind of dive into this and talk about it. So first off, he played in a better conference, right? He's coming from the Atlantic 10. He played against teams like Dayton, URI, VCU, St. Bonaventure, St. Louis, Davidson. Teams that all have, you know, tournament experience. They're all
NBA former NBA guys.
Former NBA guys. It's no secret that they have better teams than us, right? Mm-hmm. Better teams than we play, or better than the MAC. So he's coming from a conference that's better. So just keep that in mind when you like see his stats and stuff. He's playing
They'll probably go up. They'll increase in with the downgrading competition.
When you see his stats, you could expect them to go up. So one thing that stuck out to me is that he didn't attempt a lot of shots last year. So I think the most shots he's attempted – or was it – yeah, last year. The most shots he attempted in a game was 6. But when you look at his stats, because on Richmond his stats are still up on the page, you know, he averages probably about 2-3 shots a game. So he didn't shoot a lot. So coming to Fairfield, I'd hope he would get a bigger role and shoot more. But that just depends on what type of role Jay Young wants him to have. And he also, is he a sophomore now?
He's a sophomore. 2019 was his freshman year.
So he...
Or 2018-2019 was his freshman
year. So he's a junior?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's getting older. Hopefully he has a bigger role. Maybe he'll shoot more. But he didn't attempt many shots last year. But when he did shoot, he shot 36% from 3. So that's pretty good numbers. That's probably
better
than most players on Fairfield last year. Probably would be up there with leading Fairfield. One other thing that stuck out to me, 90% free throw shooter.
That is one thing. I think Fairfield did struggle with free throws a little bit last year. I mean, Taj was pretty good. There were a few guys Taj landed, but outside of that, many were kind of iffy.
That stuck out to me because that'll be a guy – You know, down the stretch that you can...
Late in games, especially.
You can rely on.
So I think there were a lot of games late that Fairfield kind of didn't notice. Like, they were giving kind of free points to the line that they kind of gave up. You know what I mean? Like, they were able to get... They may not have been able to make the basket, but they were getting to get fouled, and then missing both free throws, it was basically an empty possession.
Yeah, so... So, you know, that really stuck out to me, because 90%, I mean, that's...
That's, like...
Incredible numbers. Yeah. And then also just a fact that's kind of a big deal is that he started the second most games ever as a freshman for Richmond. So, again, it shows that they had confidence in him in a better league. And was there anything else you wanted to add from our little from our source?
No.
I have one more comparison, but I wanted to save it for the end.
Comparison for Jake?
Yeah.
It seems I'm watching his highlights right now. He seems just like a clean player. Like I'm looking at his shot and everything. Like he seems like a guy that also on defense. He may seem a little undersized at least in these videos, but on defense he seems like not like a liability for his size. I feel like he's actually he plays pretty good defense in what I've seen in these highlights. So, and that's also another exciting thing because that was kind of the first thing I noticed when looking at his highlights was he does seem a little undersized compared to like. Bigger players, but it seems like he holds.
Yeah, he had 40 steals his freshman year, only 7 his sophomore year. But so I just want to compare him right to Calvin Whipple because when I looked at the numbers, right, so you look, they're both 6'4", they're both 205, so they're exact same build.
Him and Calvin,
exact same build.
Yeah, and Calvin's another guy that looks kind of smaller on the court than he does.
Yeah.
Off the court.
But, so, Calvin, right, he shoots 27% from three. So, Jake shoots 36. So, you're upgrading almost 10% mm-hmm. from three. Same height, same weight, so same build. But Jake also averages more rebounds and more assists per game. So, to me, it's just almost a better version.
It's literally an upgraded Calvin. Which, I mean, Calvin isn't too bad. I think he can get better. I really don't think I don't think he's out of the rotation, per se. I mean, having more guys can shoot threes is not bad. Calvin's still not a bad three-point shooter.
Yeah, yeah.
But having short spurts like he did playing, it's hard to, like, have a consistent jump shot.
Yeah. But to me, when I looked at the numbers, looked at the build and everything, it kind of reminded me of a similar guy but better numbers. So hopefully he could be a better version of that. To me, to answer the question of what the role I think, and then you could go too, I say maybe, like, a fringe starter to a sixth man because – you know, we'll talk about it in a minute, but we probably see Caleb starting point guard, right?
Yeah.
Taj will probably be in there. You know, Jake being a little bit undersized, where would he fit in the starting lineup? I could definitely see him coming in as like a sixth man, but maybe a fringe starter, but I don't know really yet. I think he's going to be good, though. I think he'll be a good situational player. He's going to be a good three-point shooter. Like we said, free throws and everything like that. So for me to answer the question, I said like a fringe starter / sixth man.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty close with that. I think fringe starter. I think the way Jae Young kind of used his switches rotations up last year makes me feel like he'll truly be like a starter back and forth kind of. Because like last year we saw Crew come off the bench some games, start some games. Even with Landon, I thought we saw him come off the bench a few games.
Yeah, I think so, a couple games. Yeah.
I mean, with the way he switches up his lineups, I could easily see Jake starting. At least 3 or 5 games, at least. And, I mean, even if he's off the bench, he still could play a big role. I could still see him playing at end of games, even off the bench. I mean, because he just has so many of those qualities that you need in, like, a guy at the end of the game. Good free throw shooting, good three-point shooting, solid defense, solid size. Like, he kind of can do most things. I don't know about his finishing at the rim as much, but, I mean, he could definitely stretch the floor for them and kind of open up the paint for Cruz and Taj.
Yeah, of course. And so that's like the part one to that first question. Obviously, the second guy we got to talk about is Zach Chrysler from Rice. So he's a sophomore now. He had one season at Rice. So for me going through it, you know, let me see. So he didn't play a whole lot his freshman year at Rice. That's one thing that kind of stuck out to me. He averaged about, I don't know, 9 minutes or so a game, but he, you know, you only played like, you know, he didn't. Okay, so 9 minutes, I guess, for a freshman is not that bad
at a
bigger school, but he didn't get a whole lot of opportunities to like show his skills. He didn't really have a lot of shots put up.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, do a whole lot, so it's kind of harder to tell with him. He shot 35% from three, so with a guy who's 6'9" getting 35% from him from three. You know, that's not bad.
35% three-point shooter is never bad.
That's not bad. 53% from the field. So, again, it's not too bad, especially for someone who's 6'9".
Mm-hmm.
One thing I had a little bit issues with was 57% free throw shooter.
I mean, how many shots is that on, though?
That's the thing, too. It's a small sample size. It's kind of difficult to really get a full sense.
And also, it seems like from what we've heard, it seems like he has to sit out possibly. Like, he might not be eligible this year. So, you never know. I mean, he could just be a project more so for Jae Young than...
Yeah, we're not 100% sure.
We're not 100% sure, but it seems like he might have to sit out. But even if he does sit out, I could still see him being, like, a valuable big man in the future.
And like you said, you know, free throw, 57% free throw, but what's the sample size? It's 8 for 14.
Yeah, so like, I mean, you have you missed 2 out of 2 one time, and it's like, it crashes it from, like, 75 to 57.
6 for 17, three-point shooting, 21 for 39. From the field, so it's kind of tough because he didn't get a whole lot. He didn't get to like really show a whole lot. But another thing I saw is he averaged 1.7 rebounds per game, which kind of isn't a great thing, which considering he's 6'9", 225. And I noticed he played for them. He was more of a power forward role, but now he's coming here. Right, he's 6'9", 225. He's easily the biggest player here. So for me, the biggest question is: Can he become a center? Can he be, like, that center role? Can he be, like, big down low, tough down low? Because I don't know if he can, you know, averaging 1.7 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's about bulking up. It's the same thing with Mido. I mean,
But Chrysler is bulked up. He's 225.
I mean, then it also is just in terms of, like, coaching and positioning and that kind of stuff. I mean, that could be taught. The body type can't be taught. And rebounding can be taught.
And, like, someone like Vincent Easy last year, like, he had that role of being, like, the strong guy down low. Like,
and he knew how
tough.
To use his weight to kind of...
And he wasn't even that tall,
space.
Honestly.
Yeah.
But now him gone, it's like, who can take that role? That's actually, like, a big question this season.
Well, that's what we kept saying about Mido is he needed to bulk up a little bit, kind of take on that... Not, like, the biggest guy. He's never going to be, like, the biggest guy on the team, but, like, take on that role of just being that big man that kind of... throws his body around and kind of gets some easy baskets.
Yeah, but like, again, can he be that guy? We don't know. But for Chrysler, again, it's just tough, small sample size. My biggest question for him is, can he transition from a power forward to a center on this team? But to answer the question, again, I say rotational player to start the season at most. I don't see him starting.
If he's eligible.
If he's eligible, yeah. So, second question was if Caleb Green can be the true point guard that we've been waiting for here. We haven't really had one in our time here as we're juniors.
Yeah, I mean, Taj kind of thrown in there. I don't think he's really a true point guard. And, I mean, with the stats that we've been given, that we've seen of Caleb, what was it, 100 and – how many assists do you have? 100 and – I'm trying to find – 106 assists his sophomore year at Holy Cross, 31 – anyone last year, and the most since Tyler Nelson had his senior year. So, I mean, that's pretty big company. Tyler Nelson, one of the best players Fairfield has over the past 10, 15 years.
Like ever, yeah.
Like ever, almost, yeah.
So, yeah. So, my short answer is yes, he can be that true point guard we're looking for.
I would say yes as well.
But obviously, I have a bunch of stats to go with it. So, he started 64 games for Holy Cross, right, in the Patriot League. Not a bad league.
Not bad, no, no.
Teams like Bucknell, who beat us last year. Loyola Maryland, I believe, Lafayette.
And Bucknell's also another team that's solid in the tournament, too. Like, these are teams that, like, they have, last year, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if they won a game or they almost won
Bucknell
a game.
Bucknell was in it recently.
Yeah,
right?
Like, very recently, yeah.
So, I mean, they beat us last year.
Yeah,
it was a close
game.
Last year. Obviously, like, Caleb played for Holy Cross as a team we beat last year. But he played, it does kind of just... The point is, he played in a decent league, not a bad league. Definitely either on par or better than the MAC.
Lehigh, too.
Lehigh,
yeah. Another good basketball school. CJ McCollum.
So, started 64 games for them over two seasons. I think he proved that he can score. He shot 42% from the field over 2 years and 32% from three. And he averaged about 11 points per game his sophomore year. So, I say... Now, translating over here, I say look for him to give, maybe 14 a game here?
Yeah.
That would be huge for us.
I mean, seriously, 14 would have led the team last year, I'm pretty sure.
Probably would have.
Yeah, I think.
Because no one
really
consistently scored 14.
We would have a game where, Cruz would
maybe
do
Landon
it.
Would drop
a game
30,
yeah, a game
but then he'd
Landon.
Also drop two in a game, so it's...
It kind of passed off the torch as, the high scorer. This Caleb could come in and be that guy every night to drop 12 points, 7 assists.
All right. So I thought we were going to call. If someone called in, call in again because we missed it. But, yeah, so I think 14 would lead. Even if you just consider his actual average, or his average was 11,
yeah,
that would be very perfect. Good production.
Because it's not even – I'm not even as excited about his scoring as I am about his passing. I mean, 106 assists. If he could be that guy that could kind of get create easy baskets for them, because that was their biggest problem last year. They didn't have a guy that could create. And if Caleb can come in, be that guy that can kind of drive, kick out, drive, and, like, pass to Mido – like those kind of things, like get like pass guys open, basically.
Yeah, and that was my next point, which you already alluded to, is 106 assists. That's a sophomore year, like sophomore alone, 30 more than anyone last year, mm-hmm. and the most since Tyler Nelson senior year, which was the last season they made it to the MAC finals.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, like someone like Taj, right? He had I think 63 last year.
But, I mean, he's not a true point guard.
And he's not a true point guard, but...
That's not what he does.
Considering, like, he was our point guard. So, 63 last year compared to 106, yeah. Caleb's sophomore year. It's a big upgrade. And also, another thing that stuck out to me is Caleb had 39 steals his sophomore year. And just to compare to Taj again, Taj had 23 last year.
Yeah.
And Taj was considered a good defensive player.
I mean, he is. I mean, steals doesn't really equate to good defense, but, like, Caleb, guys, like, a little bit... He's a little bit smaller. He's a lot smaller than Taj, but he has that kind of quickness that Taj, I don't think, has. He's more of like a bulkier brute kind of on defense that can like stop the ball.
Yeah.
While Caleb is more opportunistic. I think he can kind of create easy baskets with his defense.
And again, like we're not comparing really Taj to Caleb because we still believe that like Taj they're both going to start.
Oh, yeah, no. It's just a matter of comparing our point guard last year to point guard this year.
It's just comparing point guard last year to point guard this year. And if anything, it's going to help so much to have a true point guard and then Taj play in his – we've said this like 3 times in a row on this show, but to have Taj play in his true position, it's going to help him also, so much more as well.
Imagine Taj – Taj still played good defense last year even while having to bring the ball up for 40 minutes every game. He basically was the offense for 40 minutes every game, still came back and still played great defense. Imagine now being fresh most of those possessions because you have Caleb at the point. He can kind of score more, play better defense, doesn't have to worry about play calling duties. Like, it'll help. I think it'll help Taj even more, the most out of anyone that Caleb's here.
Yeah, and I mean, we kind of talked about this already, but I think he will be the playmaker that we, like, desperately need on this team.
It's probably the one thing, the biggest thing they needed. He could probably be their best player, Caleb. I mean, he could be, very easily. At 5'10", which is crazy to think.
Someone was asking me today, I think it was one of our roommates was asking me today, like, who's, like, the star, who's the best player? And, like, I don't know. I couldn't really answer that.
I mean, Caleb, I could see him, because even, one, he could be their best player, and two, he'd probably be their most exciting player. I mean, it's always fun to see kind of guys on the short side do what, like, Caleb has shown he can do. And I think that'll bring, like, a little bit of newfound excitement that, like, kind of a guard that can finish, pass, do kind of everything.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. He seems to be, like, a confident and, like, athletic kid. So, like, if he's, like, that's, like, exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Someone, like, I'm not, like, comparing him to, but, like, someone like Russell Westbrook, who's, like, very confident and athletic, he's, like, a very explosive and exciting player to watch.
I was going to even make, if we were to make an NBA pair, I've been thinking, like, more of, like, an Isaiah Thomas, because just based on the size, like, a guy that, he's, like, small on the side, and he kind of just makes, like, things happen. Like, you were like, how does he do that at that size? And, like, I feel like Caleb could do the same thing on, like, a much smaller stage.
Yeah, so to sum it up, to answer the question, yes, I do think he should be our starting point guard, and I will hopefully we'll fully be on the Caleb train starting now on this show.
Yeah, we're
fully all in on
Caleb, him. Caleb McDonald's Player of the Year train.
So yes, we're fully all in on him. So yes, I do think he'll be our starting point guard, and yes, I do think he will be that point guard we've been waiting for 3 years now or so.
Yeah.
So, last question was about Chef. What was the question? Can he not only be dominant on the boards, but also help us with scoring? So again, we had some help from our inside source.
Yeah.
Thank you again, if you're listening. We had some help on this one because we weren't sure really.
We have a lot less information on him than we do on like Caleb and the other transfers / freshmen.
So what our source, a direct quote from our source is that Chef is definitely athletic enough to wreak havoc on the boards. It's hard to say about scoring, but he's definitely going to be one of the most athletic players in the conference. So that's just right from right from the source. But to go a little bit more deeper into that, again, yeah, he'll be one of the most athletic kids in the MAC. He's definitely going to be good rebounding on the boards, especially against smaller teams. He's 6'7". He's not that short, but, you know, he's not up to par with, like, some of the centers in the league. He didn't score a whole lot at St. Bonaventure, but again, that is a tougher league.
A tougher league. And also, I think athleticism, like, with especially in like, a conference like this, like, there were a lot of teams that Fairfield played where athleticism, like,
could make or break games.
Having an athletic big like that, like, we watched Siena and Ryder, like, they had athletic bigs that kind of just dominated the games. They weren't the most skilled. They weren't, like, they didn't have, like, the best post moves or anything, best footwork. But, I mean, they could jump, they could dunk, and they could blow past people. So, that's really, if he can do that, if he did what Easy did with more athleticism, I'd be very happy.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Easy didn't really do much, like, that was
many impressive things on the offensive side.
No, he was just tough.
He was tough, got rebounds, finished layups. That's all you really I can ask for.
Yeah, that was an interesting point. And I think another interesting fact, too, is that, you know, he had a couple of really good games, Chef, for St. Bonaventure. And one of them, right, he dropped 14 points, 13 rebounds, double-double, and it was against Niagara. So that's like a little sample size to compare.
Sneak peek of what he might be able to do against the MAC,
So I thought that was interesting because, you know, it shows you, like, because I think he only had two games where he really had, like, double figure scoring.
And I mean, a game and that's one of them. I mean, having 14 and 13, that would be the best game a Fairfield big probably had all last year, 14 and 13.
Yeah, if he could do that against Niagara in a Fairfield uniform.
That I would gladly take that.
That would be huge, considering
What we got last year.
Yeah, and what did we score against Niagara last year? Probably 60?
Yeah, 60 max points. And he had 14.
He would have had like one-fifth of the points. So, and then 13 rebounds to go with it. That would be huge. So I'm hoping that can give us a little bit of a sneak peek
and
of what it'll be like
for him.
It's
interesting that he mentions that like he's more on the like rebounding side, which if he starts next to Maido, which we kind of expect, it'll allow Maido to kind of worry less about getting in the paint and like bruising, and more about like his like actual game, like his like post moves and stuff like that, his jump shot. It'll kind of allow him to score more, which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
I think he has a lot more scoring potential than like Chef does or like a lot of the guys in the lineup. Because I think Maido with that size is dangerous. And, I mean, he has a jump shot. We watch him take it at times.
Yeah, here and there, he definitely does.
And, I mean, he hit, like, not like a lot of them, but, I mean, when he took them, he hit, like, a normal amount.
Even
I mean,
his mid-range isn't that bad, honestly.
I mean, a mid-range, I would gladly have him take mid-range shots. I know people don't like analytics these days. Mid-range shots are, like, out. But, I mean, for us, Maido, if he could hit a mid-range shot, it's all about sucking out the defense from the paint. Cause I think that's why they were so poor on offense. It's because there was no threat of that happening, so they would just sag down. And if they did,
who was going to beat you from the
outside? Exactly.
Landon, and they just covered him tightly.
And it's even less about him making them and more about just the threat of him taking it. If he can make it enough just to have the threat of it there, that they have to play closer to him on that like wing or that corner, that'll just free up opportunities for Chef, for Taj, for
Caleb,
Cruz especially.
Yeah, and dropped 14 against Niagara. We don't need him to give us 14 all the time.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like, even if he can drop
8
like,
and 8.
Yeah. A game, 8 a game, something like that. Even that would be, and keep the rebounds up.
68 points and 68 rebounds every game. I would take that.
So another stat that stuck out to me, too, was I want to say it was his freshman year. This came off the Fairfield site. He secured a steal in 9 out of the first 11 games of the season. So
Chef?
Yeah.
Really? That's interesting. I mean, plays to his athleticism. I mean, on defense, even though he's a big guy like that, he still has the quick hands and the hand-eye coordination to kind of jump the passing lanes, which is pretty – I think that him and Caleb being is kind of, like, very good on defense and very opportunistic in terms of, like, turning the ball over, I think that'll help on offense a lot because, I mean – think about how few, like, easy baskets the Fairfield got last year. How few, like, times where they got a steal and just had, like, a wide
breakaway.
Breakaway like that. I mean, having those, it just keeps the comments up. Because, like, there were so many times where they'd go 7 minutes without points. having that like quick steal and layup just kind of keeps the line moving.
And another thing too is like I can't really speak to St. Bonaventure's defense or anything, but you know, Chef did that there, right? Now he's coming somewhere where Jae Young is like very respected for his defense.
Very proud.
Their defense
prowess
was awesome last year. Defense is obviously one of his emphasis, and I think if anything, Jae Young can make him even better at defense. Yeah. And now you're talking about him. He comes in now, someone who has proven himself to have a lot of steals. Caleb had a ton of steals, right? Mm-hmm. Or was it Caleb?
Caleb had
or Caleb, right? Jake, Taj had a bunch last year. This could be a very good defensive team, and it was last year,
and
but it could be even better this
year.
It's
even more so because like a lot of the teams kind of play smaller lineups in the MAC. Like no one really has like that big man that's like impossible to guard. So I mean, in terms of like switching, they'll be able to switch on like every screen. It's gonna be hard for teams to kind of beat them on the pick and roll.
Yeah, I think their defense could be even more improved this year from last year. And obviously last year was always like about can we score.
Yeah.
That'll probably still be
a problem, but I don't think it's gonna be as glaring as it was last year.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second. But just to continue on with Chef, he also shot 61% from the floor as a freshman, 5-11 from three. So another guy who could shoot the three. And we could potentially have a lineup with five guys who can shoot the three. Not to say they're all deadly from three, but five guys who can shoot the three if they need to. Because last year we had times where you look at the court and four out of five guys
had no shot,
had a 0% chance of shooting three.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what circles back to my original point. Like, they just need to have the threat of it. Opening up that paint for guys like Caleb and Jesus, or not even Caleb, guys like Jesus and Taj, who we know aren't the best three-point shooters, having guys like Caleb and Jake or even Chef on the court that provides the threat of shooting threes will allow Cruz and Taj to have such an easier time scoring the paint.
Because we'd have time last year where it'd get late in the shot clock and then Methnani would have to toss up a three.
Yeah,
or like someone like
the
that.
Ball would just end up in his hands.
And then it would just be like an air ball, or it just wouldn't amount
to
anything.
It would be an uncompetitive shot.
But if all five guys can potentially at least put a three in the basket, it's huge.
Well,
and
it's also, they would run like that four out with like Mato in the middle, and they would kind of swing it around, and they would have semi-open shots, but it would be with like, it would be what you said, like it would be with like Sangor Peterson with the ball. So like, it wouldn't really count as like, like he would be open, but like, when you have four guys on the court,
you aren't confident at all.
Yeah, when you have four guys on the court that can't shoot threes, it's not an open shot because he doesn't shoot them.
Yeah, they're just purposely.
Like now, if that's Chef at the top of the key with an open three, like he's probably going to take it and possibly make it.
Yeah, he'll make it almost 50% of the time.
I mean, obviously that's not a small sample.
Yeah, small sample, but I mean, just to have someone that you know can do it, like you said, is just big for not only for our confidence in them, but also for the defenses having to actually go out and guard him. Also, just to note, he's a 1,000-point scorer in high school where he played alongside Caleb Green, both at Proctor Academy. So a little bit of chemistry there.
Yeah,
they both transferred in the same year last year.
They call each other up like Kay and Kyrie.
they linked up together here last year. They both sat out a year, but they've been in the system. We mentioned that too, is that it's big that they've been in the system for a year. So we haven't seen them on the court, but they've been practicing with us for a year. So because of that, I originally said I'm not sure if he'll be a starter, but I could see him playing a big role.
I mean,
especially against smaller, quicker teams. Now that you said it, and I want to kind of transition into it. So to answer the question finally, I said I'm not sure if he'll be a starter, but I'd like to see him have a big role against smaller teams specifically. I'm not sure like how you would answer it.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the Chef. I mean, I think he can help with scoring from time to time. I wouldn't like him to be our best scorer. I wouldn't want us to rely on him like we did with Easy at times. Like at times last year, we were relying on Easy to kind of score most possessions, which is not a good plan. So as long as he's just not our top option, our top three option, I would gladly.
Yeah, and now that the question is like, can he not only be big on the boards, but can he help with scoring? I think he can help.
I just don't want him to be I don't want him to be our scorer.
Him being
know?
Like the fourth option
is not bad at all.
It's not bad at all. And like we just said, if he can give us 6 to 8 points,
6 to 8 points,
and still be big
rebounds
on the boards,
it's all,
and maybe a steal or so, half a steal a game average or something like that.
That's more than what we got out of any of our big men last year.
So that's to wrap up the question. So thank you again for the question. But now I kind of want to transition because it was interesting. Now that we know what we know, right, because like 2 weeks ago we were not as educated as we were on this. Now let's talk starting lineup real quick. So now that I've kind of been thinking about it, we talked over it, I think I'd like to see Caleb, Taj. It's hard. That third, I don't really know the third. I'd like to see Caleb, Taj. Okay, oh, never mind. Sorry, I forgot. Totally forgot about our biggest, our fan favorite. I'd like to see Caleb, Taj, Allen, Chef, Mido.
So I'm gonna switch it up. So I think you might hate me for this, but I think Mido, depending on the team we play, Mido off the bench or Cruz off the bench. Oh, and would you have Allen?
Allen.
You had Allen starting.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say Allen off the bench or Mido off the bench might be the play, just because I feel like stacking your lineup with all these like our best kind of scores is not the best idea. Because I think a lineup, if say we were to have our bench in, then
so
we have
who would
what?
Who would be in your five?
So I'd probably have Caleb, Taj, Cruz, Chef, Mido, and have Allen come off the bench with like
that's
Calvin,
like a very
Jake.
That's a very I'd be fine with that. Jake in the mix too, but I'd be fine with that because Cruz again a senior,
yeah,
more experience.
I mean, it's just like. That doesn't mean that's my like final 5 minutes lineup, because like starters versus the final 5 minutes, I think should be different. I don't think Jay Young should stick to it, but just in terms of like how I'm thinking of terms of like subs at like
starting off the game.
Yeah, starting off the game versus like subbing, because like I think Allen is more prone to kind of. I think next year he should be the kind of a guy that can create for himself and get to the rim and score a lot. While Cruz, I feel like is kind of we know what he is. He's kind of
he's been here.
Yeah,
he's established.
I think Allen has more upside in that second unit.
And again, we don't know how much he's improved this summer.
Yeah, true.
Right?
True.
But that's probably the lineup I'd go with. But I wouldn't hate your lineup either. I think that'd be a very viable option.
Even if we end up going smaller and having like Chef and I know Jam hasn't really done this before, but I know like obviously there are teams that do very small lineups in college.
Uh-huh.
And you take out Mido and have Chef and Allen and Cruz. That could also be an option, but I mean, that's just kind of spitballing. That's not like a prediction or anything.
No, but it's definitely just like, even just us saying these lineups right now, they just sound so much
better. So much better,
than they have in the
I
past.
Mean, last year we'd look at the lineup and be like, like kind of shrug at it.
And also we'd look.
This is like more like exciting. Like, I'm like, oh, yes, like Caleb in the game. And even like the bench guys. Like,
that's what I was about to say. There was usually like no one off the bench that we were excited to.
It'd
really
be like Calvin. It'd be Calvin and maybe Cruz if he's not starting.
Yeah.
Or Allen if Cruz is starting.
But now there's, like, five guys on the bench that I'm excited to
including
see.
The freshmen. Like,
the freshmen,
we even talked about the freshmen. Supreme. And we talked about we talked about Jalen Leach or Supreme Cook, which are both two guys that
there's
we...
There's even more, too. Like, more
we
freshmen.
Hope.
Yeah.
And those two guys, we were last... Actually, we were saying we hope they get minutes. We almost, like...
There's...
Expect them
ton
to.
A ton of guys are excited to see. And it's just, like... This is probably the most excited I've been for a season. I know we're only juniors, so there's only three.
Yeah.
But this is probably the most excited I've been for a season. And to play on that, to transition into the last kind of segment of our show, I'm excited for the season because we got better. We definitely got better. There's no way we didn't get better. Yeah. And other
teams
got worse.
Yeah. We were just talking about that on the way here. We were talking about the transfers. We saw.
Yeah. So I have them. So we'll go like a little bit one by one. We'll talk about it. So again, from our source, thank you again.
Yes, thank you.
Because we weren't aware of this. But a lot of guys transferred from the MAC this year, from other teams. So one, apparently St. Peter's best guard transferred to Oregon. Is that right?
Well, they transferred to
Oregon?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of crazy, but...
But, I mean, guys, the coaches see stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. No. So apparently St. Peter's best guard transferred to Oregon. So that's going to help us, right?
No, big time.
St. Peter's was a team. We beat them last year. We also got destroyed by them last year. So, you know, they were definitely... At times, I think they were one of the better teams in the MAC at times. Again, we could always say, well,
I mean,
anyone could be anyone.
Flip-flopping,
But they were one of the best teams in the MAC, like, statistically. So, again, that's great news from us. Apparently one of Monmouth's best guards went to DePaul. Again, great news. Monmouth was a team that we barely beat them last year on the Allen buzzer beater. Yeah. And then they ran us out of the gym when we played them at Monmouth. So, again, more great news for us. Two of the top teams getting even worse. And then another top team, Quinnipiac, they lost two really good players. So apparently their best player, Rich Kelly, whose brother goes here, plays for Fairfield, Jack Kelly.
Jack.
This is a guy who dropped 27 against us when we played them.
John Kelly.
What?
John.
Oh, is it?
Jack, John, whatever.
Your name is John.
I know.
Jack.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying on the screen it says John. I don't know if he does the same thing.
I think it said Jack in your DM. So.
Oh, Jack, okay.
Anyway, doesn't matter. But
a fellow
Rich
John
Kelly,
named Jack.
Rich Kelly from Quinnipiac. He dropped 27 against us last year on January 24th. And he also led Quinnipiac in scoring and assists. So, easily one of their best players, playmakers.
I mean, that's three teams that just lost their three of their best players, right?
So, he went to Boston College. So, right off the bat. But then, if that wasn't bad enough for Quinnipiac, they lost, I think his name is Kevin Marfo, who was their best big man, who, it says on their website, led the nation in rebounding. 13.3.
You said 13. That's not like a crazy Kevin Marfo.
It says, if you look up Kevin Marfo Quinnipiac,
mm-hmm.
on his actual Quinnipiac player profile, it says led the nation in rebounding, 13.3 rebounds per game. Maybe he wasn't number one, but maybe he kind of
I mean, these
was
numbers,
in the top half.
These numbers, in addition to, you say like he averaged 13 and 11, or 10 and 13, I mean, some of these games later in the year, he was facilitating too. I mean, against Fairfield, not against Fairfield, but like, Siena, in a game they lost, he had 14, 11, and 8. That's almost a triple-double. I mean, you're taking a guy out of a team that can drop a triple-double, that's huge.
Which in the MAC is, like, very
exactly,
rare.
Exactly, in MAC especially. Another game, 8 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists, a block, and 3 steals against Iona. Like, that's a stuffed stat sheet.
Yeah, so he transferred to Texas A&M, which, not to mention, is a team we beat last year, but obviously a good SEC conference, a good team. So that's huge for Quinnipiac. Two of their best players gone. We'll see what they come with this year. St. Peter's and Monmouth as well losing players. So we kind of talked about on the ride over here is other teams got worse, definitely. And I think we got better.
We got much better. I feel like we got much better. I mean, I can't like officially say that because like we still don't know. We've learned a lot past few weeks, but we still really don't know. But like, from what we've learned and what we see, we've definitely gotten much better.
Yeah, it's just tough to say because you can't see the team right play. But if anything, like the we're just happy to have new unknown players that have good previous records coming here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like than just like guys that like last year it was just guys we pretty much knew already.
Yeah.
And we knew they weren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just let's see what they can do this year. This year it's guys who we've never seen play before. They have good track records, though.
Yeah.
And the other teams lost big players. So, you know, we're staying positive on this show. We've been pretty positive for them. Again, we're just very excited to see them play. What are we, 2 months away about?
Almost.
Tomorrow. I think tomorrow we'll make it 2 months.
Wow.
December 8th is our first game. But another thing I saw on that director's chair show, I think November 25th, the season starts, and I think if they play non-conference games, I think it would be structured in the beginning of the season like that.
What, the non-conference games?
Non-conference, yeah. They're still, I think there's really no deadline for them to do non-conference games. They may not even have to if they don't see it's not fit.
Yeah.
But we could potentially see Fairfield basketball in late November, non-conference games.
Hopefully. I mean,
hopefully. Yeah, we're hoping, but yeah, I don't know. Other than that, did you have anything else you wanted to?
No. I mean, I think we mentioned a lot. I think we kind of added context to our predictions from last show. Added a lot of context to like how they're gonna stack up against other teams in the conference too.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot more educated on it now.
Yeah.
I actually feel more excited too because I know, like, we know.
But we know we kind of know a little bit more what to expect.
I say next week we'll probably do. Maybe we do research on the freshmen on their high school stats and stories. And maybe we talk about other sports. I don't know. Potentially.
Possibly.
Maybe. It's hard. Once Fairfield basketball starts, we'll really be thriving on this show because we could just talk about their games every week, what happened, how they're doing. For now, we'll see. I'm also we also may be working on some cool exclusive stuff with Fairfield Athletics as far as like interviews and stuff goes and helping promoting mm-hmm. with the Super Stags app. I feel like I owe it to my employers to say that download the Super Stags app if you don't have it yet. It's a Fairfield Sports app. Everything you need for Fairfield Sports is in there. So that's my little plug for the day for my marketing people, my employers. But other than that, I think we had a great show today. Had a lot of fun. Again, thank you, Fairfield Frank, on Twitter for your question. And if anyone else hears this either live or on Spotify, tweet us. Tweet us a question. Tweet us anything. Follow us on Twitter at Red Sea Radio and tweet us a question because it gives us content. It gives us something to talk about. And thank you for listening. We can see the stats on Spotify, and we actually have quite a few listeners for a show that's geared just towards Fairfield.
Not bad.
So thank you for listening. We weren't sure if we would have anyone really listening to this, so it means a lot to us. Interact with us. Talk to us on Twitter about how our show was or ask us a question or something. But other than that, we will be back again, same time, Wednesday, 1 p.m. next week. Hopefully, I don't know. We don't know what's in store for next week, but we'll definitely be back talking Fairfield sports only. As always, again, it's been WVUF 88.5 FM, Fairfield University Radio, Red Sea Radio. Thank you for listening, and as always, go Stags.